Welcome to Resolve. This is Matt and Cass. And today I want to start with a story, Cass. So I think it was about a week ago, I was listening to this rap song, you know, that I listen to a lot of rap and a lot of other genres as well, but rap, I listen to a lot of it. And I also think it's very fascinating because I see a lot of parallels with like marketing and trends. But anyway, I was listening to Nipsey Hussle.
Mm-hmm.
And at a certain point I thought, oh, this guy, I like what he's doing and he's grown a lot in the past couple of years. So my mind went, well, I wonder how old is he? Just because I, you know, in my mind, I was pegging myself and my results to mm-hmm. his. And I was like, let's see, because I bet he's like 23. And I don't know, you know, like when you see someone, when you do that, you kind of want to make yourself feel bad about your own results.
Yeah.
You know? So I looked it up and I was like, well, Nipsey Hussle is like 33. And I was like, great, amazing. It's actually a great example of the fact that you can grow and break through at any point. But then I noticed that the page was, you know, everything on the page was in the past tense. And what I didn't realize is that he died 3 weeks ago. He actually got shot in the car park outside of his shop.
Unbelievable.
I think in Los Angeles. And that really made me think, like, this guy, he put in a lot of work. He talks about putting in a lot of work. Clearly got a lot of results because it comes from a really unprivileged background. You know, he's got a really big album now, but he's got a big following. He's got a shop, like clothing shop. He's got other businesses, or used to anyway. And just like that, he had a fight or an altercation. He said something to someone mm-hmm. else and they waited for him outside of his shop, just shot him in the car park, walked off, and that was it. And it just made me think, like, I guess it made me think two things. Number one is you got to do it because you're not certain you'll be able to do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like everything is so fragile. And then again, it just made me think that it's, you just got to go for the result that you want, you know, because everything is so fragile, right? It just made me think, don't live someone else's dream.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense. But isn't it quite common for rappers to, you know, get gunned down or shot or have a, you know, Louis Vuitton bag stolen from them and get killed trying to defend it sort of thing? Would you say that this is something which is more, you know, a generic lesson or something where it's specifically like, heck, if you're going to be a rapper, watch out because time really does fly in that sense? Or is it something that's more generically applied? But I agree with the premise of do it, because paralysis by analysis is one of the things that stops everyone.
Yeah.
You know, the analogy of tortured genius is really actually, it's not so much a tortured genius as much as it's just a genius that doesn't want to do something. And that's really, really common. But do you think it's specific towards industry or lifestyle? Like, would you say, hypothetically, that rappers, investment bankers, or, I don't know, traders should be, you know, balls to the walls? You have exactly, you know, 10 years before something bad's going to happen to you. Make the most of it. Or would you be like, well, actually, like, you know, you're in these fields, these professions, like, go hard, but, you know that you can still go home. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it does. Are you saying that, like, you don't have to, I don't know, if you go all in one dimension, let's take the investment banker, which is maybe a better example. No, not a better example, but one word that I can explain better than the rapper, because I've never lived that in my life.
Yeah. Like,
if you go all in one dimension, you just want to be a great investment banker, but you forget about everything else in your life. You've got a lot to lose.
Yeah.
Right. And so probably it's the same in like rap life. You go all in on like, you just want success and guns and just be seen in a certain way, but you don't grow the other areas of your life, then you're in a very fragile situation. Is that what?
Yeah. I mean, the way to look at it is, I completely agree with the kind of train of thought there, is that you look at peak performance and you look at people who've, you know, made it by doing. And the issue is that peak performance is one of those things where, depending on the field, is where you can kind of like mass peak performance. Like, if you are going to be a world-class boxer, for example, you have absolutely no choice but to go all in on food, diet, exercise, everything, right? Really all in. However, if you're a rapper, investment banker, I mean, you could hypothetically go all in on your craft, forget about everything else, like, you know, burn out like the sun and you're still okay, purely because you focus so heavily on that one thing that actually matters, but you've kind of let go of everything else. In fact, in certain professions, especially when you look at sports, you know full well that peak performance 10 years, right? You're going to be world-class at something that's full contact fighting, tennis, like 35, 40, that's it, game over. It's like, yeah, of course you can push past it, but you know, you're going to start lagging behind purely because genetics isn't on your side. So I'm a bit curious, is that the same for rap? Yeah, you can break through whenever,
yeah.
But is there a sort of like time limit on it? And even then, like, where do you put your time? Where do you put your energy?
Yeah.
Where does it start to be like, actually, like it made a big fucking difference for me to spend 10 hours a day just like spitting bars and ignoring everything else. Like, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm coked up to the eyeballs as long as I can keep spitting bars. But same with the investment banker, for example. It's like, they don't actually really care about sleep as long as they can make the trades, as long as they can hit the market at the right time. And that's why you see
a lot of parallels.
Absolutely. That's why they're all like twitchy and stuff all the time, right? It's because you have to be. You've got no choice but to, dose yourself up. And this is the sad reality behind like a lot of kind of like peak performance, is that when you look at rappers or when you look at, you know, like really top quality, like strongmen and athletes, there's some kind of substances involved. There's like steroids, is this, is that. There's some kind of like heavy compromise on lifestyle choice. So I guess my real question is, like, if you're going to do it and you can do it right now, like, where is the line? Where is the line between like sacrifice and, you know, being like, well, actually, there's a longer game to play here.
Yeah. So then it's sacrifice ever against you, because sometimes, you know, I've lived this, I've seen it in many entrepreneurs, many clients, actually, they're like going all in one vertical of your life and ignoring the rest is actually detrimental to that one.
Absolutely. You can't buy health, right?
I mean, right. If all you're doing is working 24 hours in your business, but you're not looking after your health, you're not going to be really effective. Your energy levels are going to be really low. And so whenever you go all in and go like, you know what, I'm going to put everything else on pause, because when I get to that one step, then everything else will be solved. That's never going to happen.
Mm.
And actually, it is, you know, the fact that you're not exercising any discipline across your life, that's going to hurt your business. It's going to hurt your project, right? At the same time, again, if you don't have that fitness level, or even like people around you that can support you through tough times, well, that's going to hurt your business again. So I always feel that like going in on one vertical is detrimental. And maybe even in that case, you have great success, say music or investment. How long is that going to last, right? It's like kind of like a candle, and then it's gonna burn
that's what I mean by the analogy of kind of like burning out like the sun. You see people like go rocket ship trajectory towards something, and then that's it, it's kind of like all over.
It makes me think about the a stat, I think it was 60%, don't quote me on this, but I think that 60% of Premier League players go bankrupt.
Which is kind of nuts, given that they make more money than you'd know what to do with in most
cases. Not all of them, right? Because you can be in the Premier League and play for, I don't know.
Still millions, man. Like, look at it. Let's say, I'm going to just take a real stab in the dark here. But let's say the least you're going to get paid as a Premier League footballer, 20 mil a year, right? So at least, probably more than that. Like, I genuinely don't think it's
less. Not if you play for Brighton, though.
Brighton's in the Premier League.
Yeah.
No, we're not talking League One, we're talking Premier
League. Yeah, Premier League.
Manchester United, Manchester City.
Yeah. I actually saw like... Unbelievable. I saw Tottenham, Brighton a few weeks ago, so...
Okay, all right, let's pretend 5 million then, right? 5 million. Like, after tax, yeah. 5 million. And
I mean, to be honest, even if it's six figures...
Yeah, we're never going to be that low, ever.
No, I know, but even if it is, it just the point stands. Yeah.
Okay. But let's say that you take home, you clear 5 mil, right? Whether you or that, that's because you're clever with tax or whatever, it doesn't matter. Now, hypothetically, let's just say you invest 10% of that, 10% of that into something, right? Whether that's low interest bonds or whether that's, you know, some like high risk venture capital, doesn't matter. If you do that over the course of your lifetime as a footballer, you should be okay, right? Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Really doesn't matter. You should be okay. And if you don't think you're going to be okay, give it to someone else who thinks they can do something with the money, and you'll probably be okay. Yeah, you might have missed a few misfires, but something should generate enough long-term income after that. Now, that is a real kind of like, actually, that gives you the same mentality of, well, I make 5 mil, I spend 4.5, and I'm putting a little bit away in something which should appreciate, so I should be safe in the future. Still good, right? There's no like lose situation there as far as I'm concerned. Even if you're the kind of person who's just like spunking 4.5 mil a year, which you know, unless you've got relatively good reason to, you shouldn't be doing it in the first place. Like, how many houses do you need, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I mean, fine. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm all for spending that money.
Gucci bag.
That's it, you know. Like, and obviously, it could get you killed. Someone could want to steal it and stab you up for it, right? But what really gets me with that kind of like, you know, the kind of, you have to go all in because there's a time limit on it. Like, the genetic clock is ticking, right? If you're going to be a world-class footballer, you have to go all in on a lot of different things, but you still have to go very heavily all in. So for me, what I get really curious about when it comes to this sort of stuff of like, do it now, get out of the way, make it all happen, is where lies the cost? Like, the real cost, because you see entrepreneurs are like, yeah, give up sleep, give up everything else, like, kill yourself, you'll be fine. To an extent, you're right, you can't buy health, but God help me, with a few million dollars saved away, you can, but you know, you can repair nutrition, the body's relatively good at healing, you can, you know, you mash yourself up a little bit, stem cells, testosterone, blah, 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 doesn't matter. But where is the real line? Where is the real line between actually, like, I'm not going deep enough, right? I'm not hammering my dream. I'm not, like, you know, waking up hungry for my dreams, going to sleep, like, thinking about them. But at the same time, it's like saying, well, actually, I'm really looking at, like, I guess, let's just leave the football analogy on the table for a second and look at a normal entrepreneur, like, yes, a healthy young man or woman, right? Now, they say, I want to build this great business. I want it to turn over 10 million. Fine, right? Okay, small dream, but still realistic and achievable. So, 10 mil, they go, I'm going to have to put a lot of time and energy into this. Good, fine. They also say, I need to put a lot of time and energy into my health, my diet, my exercise for optimal performance, right? When does it start to happen that one begets the other? So, actually, you find that people are purposefully going all in on the work because they've got all of these other problems which they don't want to deal with. Or someone's going all in on health, fitness, and everything else, and not going all in on hard enough on work to make any level of difference, mm-hmm. right? Because this is kind of like, you know, it's like a set of scales. You got, I'm going to manage my health. I'm going to be really healthy, strong, everything else, fine. But then you forget your work. And then the other side, you go, actually, we're going to put all of this up here, and then all of this is at the bottom. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you define that balance? How do you make it work? And how do you do it in a way which isn't, well, actually, I'm going to take the really typical hack everything approach, which doesn't work,
yeah.
to say, oh, I can eat like this, sleep like this, this, and I'll be fine. It's like everything is cost, right?
Uh-huh.
So how do you make that balance?
Mm. I think, to me, I have 2 points from what you just said. The first one on this balance is the fact that there's a big, like, to me, it's the mindset shift that changes in terms of finding that, maybe not balance, but state of homeostasis, where, like, everything kind of supports each other. It's the fact that we all think in terms of, or at least we're brought up to think in terms of compromises, like work-life balance. You either do one or you do the other. And it's a zero-sum game, so something will have to give. I don't think that's true. And if you think in those terms, you're going to go like, well, if I look at my fitness, my business is going to suffer. Or if I look at my business, my fitness is going to suffer. Because you look at this zero-sum game. But when you look at it in a different way, you go like, wow, it's an ecosystem. If I grow one, the other one's going to grow. You're going to find ways to align them. You're going to find ways to go like, you know what? I'm going to train in a way that gives me more energy so that I am actually going to perform better in my business. And I'm going to create a business that allows me to have the freedom and the flexibility in the people around me to train in a certain way instead of having to choose. Because I really think that this idea of choosing like a zero-sum game, it's like scarcity mindset mm-hmm. that is instilled onto us. Like, you have to choose between, again, being able to have great relationships or having success. And like, no, you don't have to choose because you can't have one without the other. And I really feel that mindset is so important because if you look for that compromise, that's what you're going to find. But if you look for like, okay, how can I create a system that supports everything? Then you're going to do that instead. Does that make sense?
It doesn't make sense. And I agree with the idea that there must be some kind of Nash equilibrium like hidden there somewhere, right? You do enough of all the right things, you're on the same side as yourself and you win, right? My concern is that 90% of people have no idea what that looks like. And so one will be an excuse for the other.
Yeah.
And getting to a situation where you have a mindset, which is not only kind of like stacked and then, you know, this idea of compound interest that you invest a little bit into your health and it pays off in your business. You invest in your business and it pays off in your health, right? That's lost on a lot of people, right? And it's lost for a number of reasons. Not only because, you know, it feels like a zero-sum game. One wins, one loses. But more than that, it's lost because understanding and creating that delicate balance is hard. It requires a lot of experimentation and failure for anyone, right? It doesn't matter what level you're at. you could be pro athlete or you could be pro businessman, and then suddenly what you have to look at actually pro athlete knows nothing about business. Pro business person knows nothing about keeping themselves healthy and fit. And so it does feel like a zero sum game. And my concern is that a lot of people don't have the capability to change their mindset, to actually go out there and be like, actually, this is me being fucking real with myself. This is me saying that this is me procrastinating. This is me avoiding the cold, hard truth. This is me saying that, you know, actually I'm sleeping more because I, you know, feel that it's going to be beneficial for me, or I'm sleeping less because it's going to be beneficial for my work. It's like finding that equilibrium and creating it. It's like, that's hard, and most people don't have the mindset for that. And so for me, what I'm really interested in, you know, getting across to people is it's individual, it's yeah. unique, but more than that, the only person that can define what that looks like is you. And you will rationalize it by motivated reasoning, however the fuck you want. It doesn't matter, right? I could come to you and say, you know, you're doing all of these things, why'd you do that? Do it. And they go, oh, this. But the only thing that really matters is results.
Yes.
And this is like, you know, the truest part of everything we've been speaking about. Like, yeah, the rapper, 33, dies. He went all in, he got results. Like, can anyone question anything that he's done? No. Yeah, the businessman, he's falling apart, has a $100 million business, health is fucked up. Can we question anything about what he's done and how he's achieved those results? No. It's like the results speak for themselves. Yes, there's been sacrifice. And yes, could you avoid those sacrifices? Perhaps. But then the question becomes, where do you avoid the sacrifices? And where does taking those sacrifices away stop the results? And so for me, that's the equilibrium to find. Mm. That's the hard part, is like saying, well, actually, am I prepared? Am I really prepared for this? Like, an athlete knows that, you know, come 45, in most cases, their cartilage is fucked, really fucked up. Like, you know, look at all of the previous, like, boxing champions that can barely, you know, spell a sentence or close their hands, right? Mm. Really common. Look at all the businessmen that are like, yeah, I'm goalless money, but there's no amount of, you know, money in the world that's going to fix me now. I'm messed up. I missed my child's birth. My daughter died, yeah. etc. It's like, this is real. It's like, that's hard stuff. It's like, where does the line, you draw the line? Like, where do you say this is enough success?
Yeah.
Because something has to give somewhere. Even if you find the equilibrium, it's almost like the equilibrium is how much are you prepared to almost sacrifice on both ends?
Well, I think the lesson that comes from the initial story is the fact that, you know, that any day could be your last day.
Yes. Right?
So the results that you're having across life today, are you happy to go with those? And if not, it's the wrong compromise, yeah. I feel, right? And then if we look at, like, many of the examples that we mentioned from, like, the footballer who's going to, you know, his career is going to stop at 38 or maybe slightly later right now, but, yeah. you know, or the rapper, again, you can have, like, a decade or maybe even 20 years of great success. The trend might change or maybe something else might happen. You might get shot, you know. It makes me think, like, don't focus on one specific thing only. Like, go all in on one specialty, but at the same time, knowing the principle is very important, because if you're a very successful footballer and then that card is taken away from you, you know, you don't have anything. But if you understand, like, okay, this is how I got to that point, so I can put the same mindset, the same principles into building a business, say, then you can repeat that success way beyond that 10-year span or 15-year career as a footballer. And so I feel that sometimes, you know, going all in that way just makes you focus on one manifestation of how you can do it, instead of looking at timeless principles that you can apply again, even when external things are taken away from you, even when you come, you know, even when you have no money coming in because your contract with Manchester United has ended, or, you know, when your circumstances change and you have to focus on something else. If you look at the largest, at the principles instead of the one manifestation, you can do it in any field. You can do it again. What do you think of that?
No, I agree with that. And I agree with the analogy of stretching your strengths. Like, let's be real. If you're an incredible footballer, logical progressions, yeah, maybe I could become a coach. Maybe I become a manager, right? You have some semblance of an idea of how the game works and the intricacies. Same thing with anyone who is a high-level professional. You might go, oh, I've run all these businesses and I'm going to run some seminars, right? same kind of thing, because you can translate those, essentially your strengths and the results you've got, into additional income. For me, what really interests me about everything that we've discussed here is that there is a line, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a line for everyone. And you have to really ask yourself, are you willing to cross it? Because you can, right, be extraordinary. You can be one of these incredible people who manage to get great results up until the line, right? So genetics could be on your side. You could be, you know, the LeBron James or Michael Jordan of any industry, right? Genetically, let's just say hypothetically. Now, you may not be at the tippy top. You may not be the champion, right? You may have balanced everything really well. But at some point you have to say, actually, if I want to be at the top, if I want to be in the, the small micro 0.0001%, I have to change something.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go do something that no one else is prepared to do. And so then it becomes an interesting dilemma of what do you sacrifice? And because nothing in the world comes without these sorts of sacrifices, even if you're genetically talented and gifted, you have to sacrifice time, energy, money, effort, sometimes longevity. Look at people who are desperate to be Mr. Universe or Mrs. Universe. You pump yourself full of things like trembolone, testosterone, everything in between, hypertoxic levels, right, for the here and now, because you know that if this is all you want in the world, if this is the only thing that means something to you right now, and ultimately, you know, you can't imagine going through your life 10 years from now and saying, I didn't go to the field, I didn't get to the plate, right? You do it.
Because that would be the sacrifice.
That would be the sacrifice.
Yeah. I don't think that everything else is a sacrifice. I wouldn't frame it like that. It's more a trade-off.
Yes.
You have to go like, you know, this is not as important. Living till 120 is not as important to me as being a Mr. Universe. So if I died at 120 and I didn't do that, that would be a sacrifice.
Yes.
But if I die at 70 and I have, you know, I was Mr. Universe in my, I don't know, in my youth, amazing. That's not a sacrifice. That's just a trade-off. It's just the price.
I completely agree. And this is why this has come back to the idea of do it now, is that, you know, people are so desperate for all of this success. But when you talk about things like, you know, look at these people who've made it. Like, look at basically everyone outside of, like, you know, these very few rare examples. They gave up everything.
Yeah.
Like, look at them. Like, genuinely look at them. Look at their lives, who they are, and how they, and everything that they do. Are you prepared to do that? Are you willing to go to those lengths? Are you willing to miss your child's first birth? Are you willing to, you know, sacrifice all of those holidays, weekends and everything else? And I'm not saying you have to, but I'm saying that these are things to consider.
Yes.
There's genuinely things where it's like, well, actually, it's like, there may be a better way. There genuinely may be. However, in your industry, in your field, in your specialist subject, there might not be. There might not be. And genetics might not be on your side. You know, what was it, the example? I think it was either Michael Jordan or LeBron James. Like, they were cut from their high school basketball team. Like, one of the two. Unbelievable. And to look at where they came and where they ended up in the end, like, that's it. And how? Pure sacrifice. They turned around and they removed everything else and said, this is what matters to me. And so when people say, well, actually, you know, I wouldn't give up my health for that, or actually, I wouldn't give up my, say, my work for that, then I start to question. It's like, well, actually, I don't think you should. But if you want something bad enough, there becomes a question of, like, stop at nothing. A winner's mindset is stop at nothing. And if it matters to you enough, it's like, that's what happens. And even on a weaker level, when people say that they want something, they are not prepared to put in the work. They say, I want this. It's like, well, actually, no, what you're not saying is I want it. You're saying it would be nice.
Yeah.
It would be nice to have this. And that's all well and good. I feel that way about a lot of things.
It's the difference between I want to do it and I want to have it done.
Yes.
I want the result, or I want the grind, right, that goes behind it. But what you just said makes me think that really it's about knowing what you want rather than what is imposed on you by society or the people around you that say you have to get this, you have to get, you know, a job that gets you a certain point, or you have to be healthy, or whatever it is. It's like, instead of following that, know what's important to you. And maybe health is important to you. Maybe spending time with the important people in your life is important to you. Amazing. Just make sure it's your priority rather than imposed on you. Because otherwise you're going to get into like this, your software is not going to work, because you're going to go, that's my priority, but I also want to take care of other people's. and it's just a conflict, it's not going to work.
Yes.
So it's know what you want, and then you can reconcile those and find a way for them to support each other. Mm. And yes, it will have to pay the price. There's always a cost, so there will be that trade-off. But again, it's not a sacrifice, because the sacrifice would be giving up what you really want.
Yes.
Right? So it's like, know what's really your desire, your dream, rather than society's or your family's or your friends. Make sure that you know what's about you, and not you're not living someone else's dream, because no one really gives a shit.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with that. And a really simple kind of example of that is that, you know, people come to me and they're like, oh, hey, Cass, like, you're in relatively good shape. You look like someone out of Fight Club. And I'm like, yeah, thanks.
Relatively.
Yeah, I'm like, thanks for that. And, you know, I'm obviously, like, you know, I take pride in, you know, working out.
Because so if you're not watching this, if you're listening, Cass has got a 12-pack instead of a 6-pack.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. So that's gonna be a very long fast to get there. But, you know, I mean, obviously, I'm in, you know, I'm a young man, relatively good shape. I care about my fitness. Purely because, you know, it does a lot for my business, and, you know, I spend a lot of time obviously managing and balancing that, you know, delicate spectrum on the scale that I've been talking about. But people say, oh, Cass, you're in relatively good shape, you know, you do all of this like full contact fighting and everything else, and, you know, it seems to be going well for you. And then they're like, you know, how can you give me any advice on how I can get, you know, into a similar shape to you? I said, of course. I was like, you know, eat well, train well, like blah blah blah. And then they say, oh, okay, cool. Like, but, you know, is it simple as that? I said, well, it depends. It's like, if you want to be in okay shape, yes, it is as simple as that. If you want to, you know, if you want to do what I do and, you know, be in the shape I'm in while running businesses, you have to do things a bit differently. And yeah. They're like, and differently in what way? And I was like, well, on a Sunday, you have to wake up at, you know, 8 a.m. and you have to go sprint up a hill for 2 hours. Like,
yeah.
You know, I was like, that's the kind of thing that, you know, I would do to shock myself and to kind of like, you know, develop my body in the way which is useful for my goals and my
dreams. But you love it.
Oh, I love it, but I hate it.
Yeah.
The actual activity is awful. Like, there's not one part of me that enjoys running up and down the same hill where I'm sweating, my like body is aching. I feel like I'm about to like, you know, keel over and collapse. However, I love the results.
Yeah.
I love every single second of being able to say, well, look, you know, I'm a, you know, strong, you know, strong masculine, like essentially able to then, you know, go and train at a level which is, you know, considered like the athletic, right? That means a lot to me. But people, what they look at is they look at, oh, actually, you know, that's all well and good, but I kind of just want the shop window. I just want to look like I'm in good shape. I don't want to be able to be practical with it or do anything with it. And it's like, you know, people who want to look smart, it's like, fine, put on some glasses and wear a nice suit and you look smart. You don't have to do any more hard work than that if it's superficial to you. It's like, but what I want is deeper than that. And what athletes want is deeper than that. And what peak performers want is deeper than that. It's like sense of self that you've mentioned. That you've
I think you want to live true, staying truly to your, absolutely, what's important to you.
Yeah,
to
your exactly. Values. There is no greater life than that. I mean, you know, the greatest thing that any man can do is take what he is given to, what's given to him, and make the most of it. I was given health. I was given, you know, a mind. I was given a body which is in relatively good working order. It's like, all I can do is make the most of that. All I can do is make the most out of the foundation that my parents have laid for me, and essentially, hopefully turn that into, you know, empires, right? But that requires work, energy, effort. It requires me to cut out, you know, certain things from my life, certain food, certain friends, certain everything.
Yeah.
And that, again, it comes back to that winner's mindset of, you have to just get rid of it.
Yeah.
Get rid of this like weakness, these people who don't serve you, these things that don't serve you. It's like, you are the commander of the ship.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing for a lot of people to get back, get to understand and to get through. It's like almost like the pain is not worth the pleasure.
Yeah. But to me, again, it's about what do you value? Because a personal example is, you know, I wrote a book in 18 weeks from idea to publication. A lot of people are like, how did you do that? I'm like, I just, you know, I set a goal and I did that. And I would write a certain amount of words every day. But there are other things I do in my life which are normal to me. Like, for example, I don't have a TV. I don't have Netflix.
Right? Absolutely.
I'm not saying that you have to do that. It doesn't matter if you do it or not. Maybe you get a lot of pleasure out of Netflix. And I'm not against it, right? What I think is, it's not for me. It doesn't give me enough pleasure for me to invest my time in it, to put my time into that, because I don't get enough out of it. So just eliminating that, and it's not because that's evil, it's because it doesn't work for me. Eliminating that has freed up so much time and energy for what actually works for me and gives me results that are not just an escape for an hour, which doesn't really work for me anyway, but it's something I can keep, you know, way beyond these 24 hours of that hour I put in. Mm. I'm like, you know, if you train for an hour, the results are going to stay with you for a week or longer if you keep training, for a lifetime if you keep training, right? So it's about like knowing what works for you. Maybe Netflix is amazing for you. Great. But know like, okay, is it 3 hours a week or is it 10?
Yes. Yeah, right? Yeah.
So it's knowing what works for you, what you really enjoy and what really gives you those results. And results in anything. It could be results in feeling great and relaxing. But, you know, the difference between watching 2 hours and watching 20 is not 10 times. It's probably 1.1%.
No, it makes sense. And is, you know, what I like to look at here is when you look at what people value, it's like we all work to live, right? We don't live to work. There's not a single person who is like, my destiny on this planet was just to fucking sit here and use my time for other people or for other things. It's like, it's intrinsic.
Yes.
You want your own value out of it. You know, you're self-interested. And so the Netflix example is one I can really relate to because I don't care about films at all. Like, it doesn't do anything for me. Right? I'd rather, you know, throw myself off a bridge than go to the cinema, right? It does not interest me at all. But there's some people that really, really enjoy it, like, yes, thoroughly. And I'm glad that they can take their time to kind of like, you know, essentially express themselves in that way. I enjoy reading, right? It sounds like it's productive. Yes, perhaps. But perhaps no more productive than watching films if you're a filmmaker, right? So for me, it's like I read, I run businesses, I'm lucky those two correlate, right? However, if you said to me, you need an extra hour in the day, what's the first thing I have to give up? Reading? Absolutely, I've got no choice.
Yes.
Like, in fact, and something I'm even interested in messing around with right now is like the idea is that I want to take everything to a new level, right? Unrecognizable version of me in 12 months. How am I going to do that? Maybe I have to stop reading. Maybe I genuinely have to stop reading and move from consumer to creator.
Yeah.
More so than that. Like, maybe I should spend the hour a day that I read and writing books. Yeah. In the same way that maybe the hour or 2 hours a day that a filmmaker spends watching films, they should start creating films, right? And it's almost like, how would you take it up to that next level? And so, you know, I agree with the idea that it's like, it's the expression, but it's the expression of, again, we don't work. We don't live to work. We work to live. Right? What was it? Live to work to live. Yeah, we work to live, right? And this is me living, right? If I want to be the best version of myself in 12 months, I have to work there. I have to work to live that life. I have no choice. Yeah. And I have to cut away the things that are, you know, less important. And it does come to a point where eventually, when you come up that pyramid, everything disappears but that one thing, yeah, right? And so if my goal is, say, to, you know, create $500 million, that everything vanishes other than that.
Yeah.
Right? If I have to get to that stage, everything vanishes.
Yeah.
And I think that this is something that comes back to a lot of what we've talked about is like the idea that, like, you know, it's not a zero-sum game and there's a lot of different things that, you know, people value and you do what's valuable for you. But to get to the absolute top 0.01%, the tiny micro fragment of that pyramid, you have to be obsessed. Mm-hmm. Obsessed. You have to destroy it. You have to get rid of everything that's a distraction and everything which doesn't absolutely 100% serve your goals. And you see this in everything, right? People who get obsessed with things get results. Now, sometimes they're negative. You look at people who have things like bulimia and anorexia, they became obsessed with their weight.
Drug addiction.
Yeah, negatively, but it becomes an obsession and they do it really well. Mm-hmm. There is not a single person who sits there like, you know, on the absolute verge of death,
yes,
right, from doing all of these terrible things to themselves and hasn't done it because of obsession. In the same way that when you look at the people who've done positive things, and I use positive in inverted commas because again, it's subjective.
Yes.
You know, a heroin addict thinks that he's living his best life. And, you know, someone who's got hundreds of millions of dollars thinks they're living their best life. Are they? I don't know. Mm-hmm. How do they make that money? If it was from, you know, something detrimental to humanity, perhaps they're not. Perhaps they're just as bad as the heroin addict. But it's that obsession.
Yeah.
The absolute, like, ability to say, well, this is what I value and therefore everything else disappears.
Yeah.
It's almost like the people, in fact, when we come to look at this at the end of towards the end of this conversation, is you're right. There's no such thing as sort of a sacrifices or as much as there is trade-offs. And even then, eventually, the trade-offs disappear. And,
yeah.
And the idea, and you just focus on this one thing, you become obsessed. And the people who feel like they're making sacrifices are probably the people who don't want it enough.
Absolutely. And when you're obsessed on one thing, you align everything else that stays towards that one thing.
Yes.
So if you're obsessed about the business, being healthy needs to support that.
Yes.
So being unhealthy wouldn't support it. So in a way, you have to look after your health, but to a degree that supports that. Again, relationship, friendships, are they supporting that obsession? You can't say, I'm not going to look at relationships because you can't build, say, a business. So even, you know, if you want to be a rapper, you can't do it on your own, right? You need other people. But are they the right people? Are they supporting you, right? And so being obsessed on one result doesn't mean being obsessed on one area. It's just aligning all of them so that they support your obsession.
Yes.
And one thing from what you said, one takeaway from me, and hopefully for people listening to this as well, is that you said, you know, I want to change my results in 12 months. So I'm considering maybe I should use my 1 hour reading to create instead. And one important principle that I always think about, at least on a quarterly basis, or, you know, even more often if I can, is that the person I am right now created the results I have now.
Yes.
So if I want different results, I need to be a different person. It's not the other way around. So I need to act in a different way. I need to switch things up, try new things. Some will work, some won't work. Right. So that's very important. And if you're obsessed on something new, you've got to change things in your life. Again, align them to that obsession.
Mm, that's very interesting. And I like the analogy that, you know, the person who you are today was created by you. So you want to be a different person. Heck, you have to, you know, create different results. That's the kind of thinking that, you know, a top performer would have. But more than that, the kind of thinking that is easy to skim over, to kind of pretend that, you know, if you continue on the trajectory you are now, then you're just going to see results. Well, actually, it's like the continuation in itself is likely to be detrimental. It's like, because it is just a continuation.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, this gigantic leap. It's not this, you know, period of transition. Nothing's changed. It's just like, yeah, you just continue perhaps on a steady line. If you're on an upward trajectory, that's fine as well. But you're not going to create dramatically different results.
Yeah. I see this a lot in entrepreneurs in my coaching practice. I work with entrepreneurs, they get to say a million revenue, maybe 10 million revenue, and they get stuck because they keep doing the things that got them to 10 million and those will not get them to 100 million. And actually the problem is now the team has grown, the environment around them has grown. So what they're doing works with a different situation. Now it's actually detrimental. So it takes you back to where you were. Why? Because the person you were got you the old results. So you go back to the old results, right? So you need to keep evolving, because otherwise you keep, you know, having the same results. And bear in mind, like, what I'm living today wasn't created by today's Matt. It was created by last year's Matt, or last month's, or yesterday's Matt, right? So I'm already thinking like, well, first of all, I can't blame myself if something goes wrong, because I'm the person who's living that and has learned from it. But more importantly, like, move on. Like, who do I need to be today to create that situation tomorrow? Mm-hmm. And I think that's very important. Again, we talk about obsessing and aligning, and it's the same. Like, how can I align my behavior with my obsession?
I like that.
What's one takeaway we leave our listeners on?
So one thing we definitely need to discuss in another podcast is the idea about obsession, for sure, when it comes to how you can, you know, essentially what it takes, like the cold hard truth behind what it takes to accomplish your dreams, right? And if the answer is, I can accomplish my dreams within the next 6 to 7 weeks, 6 to 7 months, they're not big enough, because you don't need an obsession for that. It's like, use that as a stepping stone. But I'd say probably the biggest takeaways here are to look at look at the words you're using in your life. Look at the words like, do you believe you are making sacrifices? Because if you believe you're making sacrifices, then you're already in a situation where perhaps what you're chasing isn't what you value.
Yes.
Perhaps it's not that important to you. So start to readjust, start to rethink, because it's not a sacrifice. If you're willing to get rid of something because you want it, perhaps it's a trade-off, like you said. But more than that, it's something which is directly correlating to your goals. If there's a force multiplier, getting rid of like dead weight that is holding you back, it's like you are lighter, you are more nimble, you are more ready to do something. And so not only looking at the language, but actually look at what you are prepared to do for what you want. And that is going to tell you if you're on the true path. You know, are you willing to reinvent, readjust, and to change everything about perhaps your life and yourself to get it? Because if you are, then you're in a good place to go out there and to take action and to make the necessary steps, rather than kind of like drag around all of this, you know, baggage with you. I mean, we talked to, especially at the start, around businessmen who sacrifice health, or, you know, sports people who sacrifice longevity. And again, it's like the word sacrifice and the idea that they're losing something. None of those people would turn around and say, you know, I regret anything in that moment. In that moment, yeah, of course, 20, 30 years down the line, they may regret that they're overweight, their heart problems, their joints are like a mess. Fine, of course they will. Like, we're human. We don't even like to be in pain. I could have a headache tomorrow and be like, I'm really unhappy about this headache, right? It's just pain. It's just air, you know? But at the time, it's like, what would I have done to get that headache? Well, maybe I pulled an all-nighter. Maybe I, you know, partied, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't matter. I will only be upset if I got the headache because it wasn't true to my goals for long term. Otherwise, I go, I know the risks. And if I'm prepared to take it, if I'm prepared to take those risks for those results, fine. No problem. So the really simple takeaways, look at the language you're using and look at how bad you fucking want something. And if the language you're using uses the word sacrifice towards what you want, then reevaluate it because you probably don't want it enough.
Love it. That's a simple takeaway, but very powerful. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for the conversation, Cass.
Always a pleasure, Matt.
And we'll speak to you in the next episode.
Yeah. See you on the other side.